And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week at the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
And welcome into Grapple Talk, ladies and gents. Nick Ragnar joined by Jesse Von Raspberry to my left. Jesse, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing all right, Nick. You know, man, talk about a crazy weekend of everything that happened in pro wrestling. We got the Raw and SmackDown superstar shakeups, and we've been getting a lot of positive feedback for how well the show was last week. It was almost like, wow, we should have done this a long time ago.
Are you kidding, or are you actually serious?
You think this is my kidding face?
Your face looks the same, both kidding and serious, so I have to actually physically ask you if you're kidding or serious.
I'm being serious.
Nice. Well, yeah. That's great to hear. Obviously, as we said last week, if you haven't heard yet, AC Riley no longer going to be here for the discussion portion of our episodes, but that doesn't mean you won't hear from him, because actually, in fact, you're going to be hearing from him a little bit later on today, because he will be hosting our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment with Sean Priest, one of his buddies up at BCW. They recorded this interview, I want to say, like 4 months ago, so
yeah,
it's a little late, but hey, as you mentioned, non-time sensitive, so just kind of talking to Sean Priest about, you know, his life in wrestling, and it's a good listen, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Sean had a great 2016, and I think if you would have known what would have happened the beginning of 2017 in BCW, maybe, like, he would have held on to that title a little bit tighter, and would have maybe took it out on a few dates and stuff like that. But no, it's a fair, I guess it's a pretty timely interview too, especially if, like, maybe possibly somewhere down the road you get a chance to go down to BCW. Like, you never know.
Definitely.
This might be the last two times, like, you hear these guys on friendly terms.
Definitely. Well, you know, BCW is coming up this Friday. I know that you're definitely going to be there, so you can kind of use this as a little bit of a preview, because we know, you know, Sean Priest, the former BCW heavyweight champion, was, you know, it's kind of his home base, so looking forward to that interview coming up later. We're also going to, as you mentioned, talk about the shakeup in WWE a little bit. Kind of weird, because, you know, obviously with Post-Mania and then with this roster shakeup, I mean, we have 2 weeks just jam-packed with, like, WWE content, which I feel like we never have on this show.
Well, especially if you looked at last week's programming and then looked at this week's programming, they had set up some feuds and then other feuds basically got scrapped. And we're going to see something kind of interesting too, because, you know, one of the guys that got moved is Bray Wyatt. He's going to have his return match against Randy Orton on a Raw pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun discussion to have. We'll also talk about Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, that whole, say what you want about it.
Oh, man.
It was basically an historic, just, you know, segments on Monday Night Raw. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll also do This Day in Wrestling History to round off our show. We'll talk about some upcoming shows as well. So lots to get to this episode, Jesse. But first things first, what I kind of wanted to talk about was this past weekend, because I had the chance to go to RWA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we like to always start our episodes with some, like, happy, fun road trip stories and things of that nature. Well, it was just me and AC Riley in the car. I convinced AC Riley to drive,
okay.
So that was error number one.
Oh, God.
Error number two is riding in a car while AC Riley is driving. I don't know if I said that already. But what I'm trying to say, Jesse, is that it's not a good idea to let AC Riley drive. And AC, if you're listening to this, I hate you, dude.
All right, so what exactly was he doing when he was driving?
This is what he does, man. You know, if you're sitting there chit-chatting, everything's A-okay. But, you know, sometimes I'll pull up the phone, browse the social medias, you know, see what's going on in the world that is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll look over, and Mr. Freaking AC Riley is also browsing the social medias while he's driving,
oh, man.
AC, if you're listening to this, I'm putting you on blast, dude, because I think you almost killed us. Everyone needs to know, if you're riding in the car with AC Riley, his phone needs to be confiscated.
Okay, come on. You haven't done that as well? If you're driving, like, check your phone quick?
I've done the text messages and stuff like that, but this dude's literally browsing his news feed. Like, he's got to stay up to date.
Facebook, and then he's actually commenting on it.
I don't know if he was commenting. I saw him doing the, I saw him browsing the walls and stuff, and I'm like, this dude, I mean, good for him. He's got to stay up to date. He knows things when they happen, even while driving. But, man, it's just like, I was worried for my life.
Were you guys, like, drifting? Like, into other...
I mean, honestly, it kind of happened a little bit sometimes.
You hit the rumble strip on the side?
I will say, for the most part, I think he's doing it, you know, like, knowing that there's not a lot of cars around and stuff like that. But you know what, AC Riley? Just put the phone away, dude. If you want to know what's going on Facebook, I'll check it for you, and I'll relay the information.
You guys might have different news feeds.
Well, yeah, that's true, I guess. You know, I'll have to look at his and look at all of his personal information to relay that to him. But also on the trip, it was kind of interesting and also terrifying, is that me and AC Riley got stuck in the middle of a pack of motorcycle bikers.
So you got caught up in the stream of motorcyclists.
Yeah, and
weekend.
Well, a couple of them were wearing jackets that said Aryan Brotherhood on them.
Oh.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to, you know, it's just like
so you got stuck in a pack of Nazi bikers.
Yeah. I mean, I had to have, right? I mean, if you're wearing a leather jacket that says Aryan Brotherhood on it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many things that could, I mean, mean, right?
No,
I mean, it has to.
Not really. I mean, there was, you know, in ancient history, the Aryans, you know, very Middle Eastern. Actually in origin, which is kind of weird when we actually get
right.
Played into a German thing, which Middle East and Germany, not even close to each other. Yeah, I think you were in a pack of motorcycle racists.
It was terrifying. It was honestly kind of scary. The best part about it, though, is seeing these super hard dudes with their motorcyclist jackets on.
Yeah.
Like, bald, just these hardcore sunglasses even, just looking intimidating. And then they have, like, these white Grandpa New Balance shoes on. A couple of them had that. I was like, oh, it's weird.
You know.
It's different.
Are you saying that New Balance is the preferred shoe of a racist?
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. But the scary thing was that AC Riley, I didn't think...
Knew?
No, he just didn't, you know, neither of us knew, you know, how to, when you see a biker gang, they're always all together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we ended up, we were in two-lane traffic, and AC Riley's like, these bikers don't intimidate me. He's like keeping up in traffic with these guys driving right next to him, you know, just because it's AC Riley browsing Facebook, I don't know. Tweeting.
So he's browsing Facebook, tweeting,
no, he was
staying up in the traffic with the Aryan Brotherhood.
Okay. Fair, to be fair to him, he wasn't while we were with the Aryan Brotherhood. But we got to a point where the two lanes turned into one. So then we cut off like three of them. So there were like three bikers behind us of the Aryan Brotherhood, and then there was like 10 in front of us. So we were sandwiched in between the. And I was worried, you know, like I was like, Riley, dude, I mean, these guys, they look older, maybe. They got the jackets on, but these dudes. You don't wear that jacket going out into public thinking that, you know, you can't whoop somebody's ass. That's just what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
like, I'm a little guy. I can't defend for myself. I don't get in fights. I'm not that type of guy.
You know, Nick, out of the whole group, you are the most worried of the bunch, too.
So, I know.
Like, I'm picturing you, like, sweating bullets.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And, like, just the hair slicked back, and you're like... You're white knuckling the fucking, like...
It was scary,
because
it is. Like, these guys don't give a shit, either, because they're, like...
Here's Alex, just...
Because they're sitting here, there's these motorcyclists, and they're, like, basically, like, going over the median at times. Like, they own the road at that point.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, just let them have it. AC, let them have the road. Let's pull off a little bit. You know, maybe, you know, browse the Facebook safely and, you know, get
but
on
no,
the road
he's
afterwards.
Like, no, man.
No.
This and is America.
And eventually, you know, they pulled off and did their own thing, and we were no longer, you know, accompanied by the Aryan Brotherhood. But it was a very weird feeling. I've never seen that before. You know, I've never seen somebody with a jacket, like, blatantly advertising that they were racist. So that was really weird for me.
Yeah, it's always kind of weird when you see that. You know, you're not... I don't know, expecting it,
yeah.
And then you see it, and you're just like...
yeah, it's like
I'm driving
on?
Through the alleyway the other day, and I'm like, my neighbor's got this garage door open, big old Confederate flag, blaring classic rock. I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go park right now.
I'm just going to go park. Like, this didn't happen.
But RWA, you guys had a pretty good show, I heard.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't too bad. You know, the draw wasn't fantastic, but, you know, sometimes you're just going to get that in Waseca, Minnesota.
Well, it didn't... It's an age-old excuse. It's too nice out, brother. Let's shut it down.
You know? That's exactly what everybody always says.
Yep.
You know, oh, during the winter, you know, people don't want to go out and leave their houses because it's cold and blah, blah, blah. But then during the summer, it's too nice out. People don't want to go inside for wrestling shows.
Yep.
It's a funny little thing that we do to try to rationalize.
You would
why
think
we don't
spring and fall would be, like, perfect time for wrestling
shows. Oh, it'd be
the best
time ever just based on excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, overall, you know, it was a fun show. Really good card. AC Riley, I got to manage him once again as Nikki Duche. Taking on Jordy Lee in the main event. Those two had a great matchup. You know, Stacy Shadows and Sierra, who were scheduled to be in the main event, you know, like a run-in and then eventually turn that into a tag match, didn't get there until midway through the match because they were in Steel Domain, I believe, earlier that night. So
how much of a distance is it between like Waseca and where Steel?
It's like an hour and fifteen minutes, something like that.
So man, you really got to be like, we got to get on the nut.
Well, and the difference
and, like,
is that usually
get out.
Difference with RWA is that they also were they only had six matches and the matches went real quick. You know, normally that's not typical. So you know, we were kind of cutting it close, but it all worked out. I thought it ended really well. You know. With how long, you know, we had to cut a long promo in the beginning, and then, you know, with the they had to run a long raffle before we came out there. So with all that happening, I feel like, you know, and with the smaller crowd, we got a real pretty big reaction, which is always kind of nice, too, when you have a smaller audience. So overall, I thought it was a real successful night being a part of, and then, you know, being able to see some of the matches earlier in the night. I thought it was an overall great show, and, you know, like I mentioned, maybe not the best draw, but looking forward to working with RWA in the future. I know in May they have two shows planned in Fort Dodge, Iowa, which typically when they book in Fort Dodge, they always have a huge crowd. I think the last time I was in Fort Dodge with them, they had over 200 people. Maybe I can't even remember if that's correct. Maybe if the RWA
That's a pretty good draw.
It might have been more than that. It might have been around 300. I can't remember, but it was a huge turnout for them, and I think they're expecting the same in May, so it's pretty exciting.
Now, you said they're going to run two shows in May?
Yeah, and they're at different locations, but I think when they went there last time to Fort Dodge, they talked to some of the people that came to the show, and the idea behind it was they have nothing else going on, and it's a town full of wrestling fans. So once they hear wrestling's coming to town, they just, you know, they just flood the venue wherever it is. So, you know, you wish that was kind of how it was for all these small towns, because I don't think Fort Dodge is really that big of a town or a village or a city or whatever it is. But it's a state of mind. But looking forward to it. You know, last time they basically booked in a building similar to Shenanigans in La Crosse.
Okay.
Like there was like a ball pit and games for adults and things like that.
Did anyone get dumped into the ball pit?
And unfortunately, no, that did not happen. I think
someone
that was found
like, upon. Someone's like, you Rudy Poo candy ass, so like punched him and threw him in the
ball
pit.
That's a great reference, because we're kind of going to say something similar to that coming up later. But yeah, really liking what RWA is doing. Again, just a nice little fun Minnesota Fed that I think a lot of people are, you know, getting experience from, because they're booking a lot of different people from different states, you know, over here in Wisconsin, from Iowa, and then those, you know, in Minnesota. Even Danny Duggan coming down from Canada, which me and AC Riley had the chance to interview him as well for Grapple Talk.
Yeah, hopefully I saw that in production notes. That's pretty cool.
Hopefully we'll have that coming up here probably in a couple of weeks, but just another fantastic
interview.
Hopefully not 4 months. But another fantastic interview. Talked about Zubas, talked about just pro wrestling in general. You know, Danny Duggan, a great guy as far as giving kind of like insight behind, you know, what it takes to become a great pro wrestler. So that interview is great. So definitely something else to look forward to there here on Grapple Talk.
Oh, cool, Nick. You know, like one of the things we got to get to, but first we got to just tease it, because we got to take that quick break. We're going to talk about the Raw and SmackDown shakeups and how exactly this is going to affect WWE going forward, because we were on the show last week trying to figure out where WWE was going to go, and then we heard about the shakeup. We're like, ah, man. And then now it totally, like, blew away expectations.
Well, dude, I'm sitting there watching it. AC Riley was there, too. We were watching it on our couches and with the TV on or whatever. And it's just like, you just keep hearing names, and I was, you know, me and you talked last week. I thought it was going to be like three or four people were switching brands and not necessarily
like
major
eight
competitors.
Yeah.
No, it was 11 from Raw and 13, I think, from SmackDown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, just tons of talent switching shows. And, yeah, it's just like it blows my mind. But, I mean, we have something to talk about now. So that's good. We'll do that coming up next right here on Grapple Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Gotta be loud, you gotta be rude, so the world can hear you. You gotta be crass, you gotta be cold, it's everything we know.
Turn it up, turn it up!
Another day, a double shot of hate, drink it up like gasoline. The lines are paying to graduate.
So build somebody else's history.
When I lose, there's a tie to the fantasize of a much different life. A fix for who they want me to be.
Directly straight to your TV.
and when they turn their backs on you.
You gotta be loud, you gotta be loud, so the world can hear you. You gotta be fast, you gotta be cold,
it's everything we know.
Turn it up now.
Stacey Shadows.
We have said it numerous times that Stacey Shadows is one bad bitch.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk, the best indie wrestling podcast right now known to man.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smark Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest's up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smark Money. Check us out.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with this week in wrestling history, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast where you get my take on wrestling headlines, I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up the Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Heading on a wrestling road trip.
Yeah, don't sleep on road trips with the bruises. You either end up without an eyebrow or you got something drawn on your face.
Well, download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar.
All right, welcome back to Grapple Talk here. Now, Nick, this was a part of the show we were kind of really looking forward to a lot, and that was the Raw and SmackDown shakeups. And, you know, last week we actually picked some names, and, you know, surprisingly, we got some right, but a few wrong. But, you know, as we go through Raw and then SmackDown, we're going to kind of give it a pro and a con for each guy for going forward to with their new direction. And one of the guys right away needed a new place to go was Apollo Crews, Nick. Good or bad for him to move to Raw?
I think overall it was a good move just because he's going to have more time. I don't know about opportunity, but he'll have more time. They have the 3 hours to fill, meaning they have more time for those lower card guys to get on. I know that everybody says SmackDown's a place of opportunity, but if they don't have anything for you, they're not going to find time for you to get on the show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
SmackDown, so jam-packed as it was, unless you're feuding with somebody, you're just not going to get on the show. With Raw, at least, they're able to sometimes throw out those matches for people just to see and kind of, you know, more or less view these guys that are never on the show. So I think for Crews, this is good. It's a nice fresh start. And again, it just allows him hopefully the opportunity to have some of those mid-card matches, you know, at the right around 8 or 9 on Raw when they're trying to find those buffers. Wasn't good though that they just used a full screen for him. That kind of sucks because totally kills my argument there for him being on Raw. But I don't know, what do you think?
I think with some of the using the full screen and have him make the debut and stuff like that, it all depends on what they feel like might make the most sense time wise to do it. You know, mm-hmm. like what was it? One of the guys earlier actually just it was before the show.
Right.
That's when they told him and he's like, oh, hey, yeah.
Yep.
You know, basically it sounded just like that. But I think for Crews it's very, very good. Now depending I don't even know if he's close to that 205 weight limit, but you could definitely see him on 205. I mean, it'd be a perfect fit for there.
Yeah.
Add another competitor.
Definitely.
One that was kind of perplexing, and we're gonna discuss it a little bit here, was moving The Miz and Maurice to Raw.
I thought that was real interesting. I think you can go both ways. I'm going to say this about a couple of guys here that got moved over, and mm-hmm. we'll talk about them. But I think the difficulty that you have with Raw is that with Brock Lesnar being the champion and with, you know, these storylines moving forward with Braun Strowman and with
Roman Reigns,
you kind of almost feel like that heavyweight picture is totally blocked off from anybody entering, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Miz was so hot last year that you kind of felt on SmackDown he might have had an opportunity at that heavyweight belt, maybe could hold it for a couple of months, kind of show what he's got to be the face of a brand. And at Raw, I don't think he has that opportunity. Now, he can take over Raw because we're not going to be seeing a ton of Lesnar probably between now and SummerSlam or whenever it is that he's actually going to lose the belt, but
mm-hmm.
I think it goes both ways. You know, it's a nice fresh start for Miz. He kind of jobbed out to Cena there at the end of his SmackDown run. So, you know, it just lets more people see what he can do, because if there's Raw viewers that aren't watching SmackDown, now Miz can get on there and only widen his audience. So I think this is kind of a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those things, if Jericho's not going to be around, you got the talk show host there with Miz.
That's true.
And Miz and Maurice, it's just a great package right there. You can't have one without the other. And it's something we're going to bring up during the SmackDown shakeup as well, that maybe they're going to split two of these people. But it almost feels like we're not going to get the payoff for what we expected with like whole Nakamura
yep.
debut,
yep.
and we're not going to get that payoff with Daniel Bryan as
yep.
well.
Exactly.
Which kind of, you know, a long game kind of really sucks, but like the short game is going to be really good here for Miz
yep,
and Maurice.
Absolutely.
Another one that was kind of interesting was moving a champion over, Nick, and Dean Ambrose taking the whole Intercontinental title. Now, doing that kind of basically tipped the hat. They might move another title to SmackDown the next night. We'll get to that later on when we get to SmackDown, but Dean Ambrose going to Raw.
Yeah, I think this is another great example of being kind of like a huh? You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? I don't think it's a bad thing, but at the same time, it was like, you know, this is literally, I think Ambrose moving was literally for shake-up purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I thought what he was doing on SmackDown is exactly what he's going to do on Raw. He was the top face, the top face in the company at WrestleMania 32. So, I mean, this guy is a proven commodity. But, you know, the reason I do kind of like this a little bit is because of the apparent trade that it made with Raw to get Dean Ambrose there. And, you know, I like the idea of giving these two guys opportunities to work with a different crowd. And I think one of the things that you're going to see here with Ambrose on Raw is I think that they might be teasing a Shield reunion here.
Well, definitely.
Spoiler alert for SmackDown, but Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not
going
to go anywhere, and it just makes the most sense right there. You know, you finally can put those three pieces back together on one show. Timetable for the Shield reunion. You thinking by SummerSlam?
I'm thinking by SummerSlam or by WrestleMania. Wherever they don't do the Lesnar-Reigns match, they'll probably do the Shield match.
All right.
Where they team up and whatever it is that they take on the Authority or whatever the hell they're going to do.
So coming up next, though, now this one might be a little perplexing because he was kind of like a pillar of the whole SmackDown community, and that's Bray Wyatt.
I really like this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was, I think with just how weird that Orton angle was and how weird that all ended, and I'm kind of still disappointed it's continuing through Payback. But yeah, I like the idea of Wyatt on Raw. I mean, you have Finn Balor over there. Well,
gosh.
You had Finn Balor over there for him to work with. You have Seth Rollins over there for him to work with, who I'm not sure if he's had a feud with yet at this point, aside from the Shield stuff.
Just the Shield
stuff. So I kind of like Wyatt coming over. I think it's a good trade off. And you know, we kind of mentioned this when we were making our picks, but. Luke Harper and him needing to be separated. Well, now you have that separation. We were wrong on which guy was going to get sent over, but now those two can break off, and you can let Luke Harper be his own guy on SmackDown. So I think this has benefits. This benefits others aside from just Bray Wyatt on that move.
That is definitely true. You know, I didn't really think about that when it came to the benefits for the side stuff. One of the ones that could be really interesting is maybe like the pairing of Reigns and Wyatt. Remember last year on Raw, was it? Like last year or 2 years ago, they ended up had a really good tag match. Be interesting to see how that one goes. 205 Live got a little bit richer with the addition of Kalisto to the Raw roster.
We'll keep some of these a little quick just because I don't think there's a lot to say about Kalisto because we haven't seen a ton of him. But I do agree that you know, him coming to Raw is more or less to bolster that 205 lineup. I really like that. I like the reasoning of bringing him over to Raw just for that purpose.
All right, Heath Slater and Rhino coming together as a duo, as a tag team.
Now, what do you think about that? I'm gonna throw it back on you right away.
I think they're a very, very good tag team that you can really put in with anyone and get the most out of your programs on that tag division.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. A good low to mid card tag team that can get some of the stuff done that maybe the tag team that headed over to SmackDown wasn't getting done.
All right, cool. Another one, we ended up having two women move over, and that was Alexa Bliss and Mickie James.
I told AC Riley this when this happened. I love the Alexa Bliss move. I think it's phenomenal. You know, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to say it again. You know, Bayley and Sasha were out there cutting a promo. And honestly, man, it was cringy for me. I mean, I love the women's division. I love those girls. They do fantastic work. They've made it so women's matches are can't miss. But I didn't enjoy that segment. Alexa Bliss is so good at playing her character, man. Like, so good. Like, everybody wants to sit here and talk about how Charlotte is the greatest heel women's wrestler ever, but I honestly think she's not even necessarily the best heel women's wrestler in the company today. I think Alexa Bliss might take the cake on that, just being that heel and just almost like...
Like,
just,
her character work is on another level.
That's what I'm trying to say. Is like, she actually, like, when I'm listening to her talk on the mic, I believe that this is who she is. Like, she's not playing a character. When I'm watching Charlotte or Sasha or Bayley or Nia, like, I can, you know, being the smart fan I obviously am, I can... You know, I can obviously.
I like
tell.
How you toot your own horn there. Like,
come on.
Smart fan I am.
Smart, whatever you want. Okay, in the wrestling business, if you call yourself smart, it kind of isn't even necessarily a good thing.
No.
But I'm just trying to say, like, you can tell that these ladies are playing a character. They're not being themselves. Yeah. With Alexa, it just seems like she's on a whole nother level. And I think she can do great things with that division and kind of, you know, spice it up a little bit, because we've gotten the Charlotte, Bayley, and Sasha angle for the last, like, 2 years, and it's been getting a little stale. So I'm kind of happy that they were able to introduce her. And along with Mickie James, I just want to toss her in there, too. Some
veteran presence.
You got it.
All right, cool. Then the two that happened off the scenes that were interesting trades. Kurt Hawkins is going to Raw, and David Otunga.
Kurt Hawkins actually got squashed by Big Show.
He did. Wow.
He did the whole – he came out, and he did the whole heel promo, and then he got squashed by Big Show. Pretty much the same gimmick he did on SmackDown.
Well, they need guys to do that, right?
Yeah. I thought Big Show was retired, by the way. What happened there?
I think he said that was his last WrestleMania, so I don't know if it's so much him retiring.
Okay.
So, All right, so we're going to move to SmackDown. So, but before that, Raw, give it a letter grade.
I don't, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. I watched all of Raw, and then for SmackDown, I DVR'd it and watched some of the major parts of SmackDown. If I had to give it like a letter grade, I'd probably give it like a B. You know, like it was a pretty entertaining show, especially when you're
For the shakeup.
Oh, for the shakeup.
Yeah.
B plus. Yeah. I'll give it a B plus.
All right.
I thought, you know, it was a good shakeup. The show was good, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the shakeup was what it was. I think it's going to create some fun storylines going forward. And like I mentioned before, guys, like I think Miz is going to have an opportunity to get more mic time because there's more time to kill. So even though he was getting a lot of it on SmackDown,
he'll
be featured every single week, no doubt. Bray Wyatt has a new audience to perform in front of. Ambrose has the opportunity to start doing the Shield stuff, and if he does that, he's going to be seen on a bigger stage and blah, blah, blah. So a lot of these top-tier guys are going to have more opportunities, I think.
It seems like a lot of it's to re-bolster the mid-card
right, when
you look at it. All right, SmackDown. Let's transition.
Oh, nice.
All right, cool. So one of the ones that happened right away, off the cuff, Byron Saxon. Going over to SmackDown.
You didn't watch SmackDown.
I actually watched the video though when they told him like, hey, you know, you're going over to SmackDown. And he was just like, ugh.
He did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job playing off JBL and Tom Phillips. I thought, you know, people always shit on Saxton, but that's probably because he works with Corey Graves and Corey Graves is good at what he does and shitting on whoever the face color guy is. I thought Byron did a great job. Shitting on the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I thought he did a great job as a third guy for that SmackDown announce team. I thought it was a nice change of pace from David Otunga, who's the shits.
Well, you know, like Saxton's already got the chemistry there with Phillips, and Phillips is developing that chemistry with JBL. And you know, we're probably going to talk about maybe JBL a little later. That's a whole nother can of worms that we're not going
to talk
about right
now.
I don't
have time to talk about that.
But it just made sense. It's actually a good fit for him. I think that's a really good team, and hopefully they can keep SmackDown to three people. One of the biggest moves of this whole SmackDown shakeup, because Ambrose going over to Raw, champion for champion, Kevin Owens over on SmackDown now, the face of America.
This is one of my favorite moves. It's not my favorite move, but of the night. But you know, and by saying that, I mean like if I had my top 10 favorite moves of the shakeup, this is probably like number two or three. Just because personally, I've always been a SmackDown guy. Like, even when they did that first brand split back in, like, 2003 or 4 or whatever it was, I was always a SmackDown kid. Like, I like the color blue. I don't know what the reasoning is. I hate Eric Bischoff, maybe. I'm not sure. But I've always been a SmackDown guy, and to see Kevin Owens come out there right away and to see what he was able to do.
Clean shaven, by the way.
Clean shaven.
Wearing a suit.
See what he was able to do. I mean, they were able to add so much prestige with the U.S. belt in this one show. I know that you didn't watch it, but man, with Kevin Owens' promo, clean shaven, just the suit, like acting like he is a champion. Even though it's this, it almost felt weird. It felt like he was the WWE heavyweight champion.
Okay.
Like that's how he was, you know, carrying himself. And then they were able to make this whole full circle gimmick between the Baron Corbin, AJ Styles. And
another guy
and,
who actually you can't have Kevin Owens going anywhere without having Sami Zayn basically follow.
Yeah, and he joined in on the party too, and they basically made this whole United States title gimmick for the entire show. It was basically the feature of SmackDown, and I loved it, man. They were able to add this prestige to this U.S. belt that seemed like it had been
neglected
for the longest time, and I'm just, you know, it's exciting because now you have Kevin Owens. He can work with you know, even Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, who seems stale lately. That's something to look forward to. Another AJ Styles feud would be fun. I mean, even seeing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn having another run at whatever it is they want to do could be fun. And again, you know, people always talk about land of opportunity for SmackDown when you talk about the heavyweight title picture. It kind of is, because I'm sorry, but I can't see Kevin Owens beating Brock Lesnar for the heavyweight title. Can I see Kevin Owens beating Randy Orton for the title?
Yes.
I could. Can I see Sami Zayn beating Orton for the title?
Yes.
I could. And that's one of the great things I think about those two moves. What do you think?
Definitely, the move with Owens going and then Zayn following is just perfect, because it almost seems like you can't have one without the other.
Right.
And it would just be weird to have one without the other at this point in time in their careers.
A lot of people I saw were kind of shitting on it because they were like, we're sick of seeing these guys together. You know, we don't want to see another series of these two guys wrestling each other. What do you say to those people then?
those are the same people that are probably bitching about The Rock and Austin.
Yeah,
you know, that's simple as that. Yeah. All right, so we got Sami Zayn moving over. Good fit as well. One that we were pretty good with guessing who was going to go to SmackDown. Not so much with Raw, but one of the ones we were actually very good with the guess was Charlotte.
Yeah, and we made these predictions before we saw Raw, so we didn't know any of the storyline setups, because I think after you saw Alexa Bliss come over, and then you saw Charlotte job out to Nia Jax, you kind of realized...
Also got our face broke.
Yeah, that was not good. Yeah. But once you saw that all happening, you're kind of like, okay, I can understand Charlotte coming over. And that's another thing, you know... The great thing about this quote-unquote shakeup is that now you have the opportunity for Charlotte to once again work with Becky Lynch, and you have the opportunity for Charlotte to work with Naomi as their champion. You know, so she brings a little bit more of that star power into the women's division, which I think it was maybe lacking a little bit. While Alexa Bliss is my favorite heel woman on the roster, and I think Mickie James is great, I don't think they have anywhere close to star power of a Charlotte.
With Charlotte, what you're getting is very much the women's ace there now on SmackDown, and you can really, if a lot of people, they might be saying like the SmackDown women's division was kind of lagging behind.
Right.
Perfect person to put there would be Charlotte to try to bring it back up.
Exactly.
All right, another group that actually needed a change of pace, and that was the New Day.
I definitely agree with this move. I'm not sure when they're going to return. I'm not sure if they're waiting until at least Kofi can be on feet again.
Two of the thirds, plus, you know, a blow up Kofi actually showed up on. They actually had a blow up doll.
Yeah, I
Kofi
saw that.
Kingston. That was that was pretty funny. Go figure.
Yeah, but I think you know, this is another great move, a way to, similar to how you just basically described the women's division, is that you need to build up, bolster this tag division. And while some people are saying the New Day are getting stale, whatever, they're probably still the biggest merch sellers out of the, as far as a tag in the entire company, longest reigning tag team champions. So I think they can kind of help, you know, add to that tag division, which also has seemed to be lacking behind Raw's.
And, like, marketing-wise, their color palette works way better on SmackDown than on Raw.
Yeah,
that's
you're
just,
right.
That's
it
just
does.
The way
you
it goes.
You are 100% correct on that.
Another duo that got sent over, but separately, this one kind of got some eyebrows raised, was Rusev and Lana jumping over to Team SmackDown.
Now, I mentioned this earlier as my favorite. This is actually my favorite.
Oh, really?
My favorite shakeup is Rusev coming to SmackDown, whether he's with Lana or without Lana. This dude needed a changeup more than anybody
that
out of this entire shakeup. I will take this to my grave in that I think Rusev is one of the most talented dudes in WWE right now. Like, seriously. Like, with his size, his look, his moveset, his ability to be, you know, a pretty charismatic guy.
Yeah, very underrated.
Very underrated. I think, you know, I'm really hoping that the move to SmackDown for him is a reset, and I'm hoping that, you know, maybe in the next year we see him chasing that heavyweight title, because I think he's deserving of it, and I think, you know, with the right writing, he can be made into a legit star. You know, similar to how, you know, a year ago, and even though Rusev's been in for a while and he's at a WrestleMania match, a year ago people were looking at Braun Strowman as just like this just bland, kind of just big
bland,
monster
big
guy,
man.
Big man guy, and now he's looked at as one of the top stars in the company, and I'm hoping they can do something similar with Rusev and a restart on SmackDown.
All right, cool. Now, looking at the tag division as well, the Shining Stars jump over.
Again, I think just another hopeful restart. You know, these two, Epico and Primo, were once, like, the only tag team in the division a couple years ago. They came out and attacked the Usos, who are the current tag champs, kind of, like, making their mark on the division and, you know, kind of hoping that they can kind of bring some, you know, become relevant again. I'm assuming that they'll be... I'm assuming some of these changes, just because they're shiny new toys, will be kind of pushed right away.
A little bit, yeah.
So hopefully they can kind of take the ball and run with it and become, you know, a prominent tag team once again, opposed to showing up on one Raw a month.
That is definitely true. Sin Cara actually separated from Kalisto.
I don't even know what to say about that one.
Hey,
what do you got?
I think
you take that one.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he seems like, marketing-wise, he fits the pattern for SmackDown.
Nice.
A lot of blue. All right. Tamina going back to SmackDown.
Kind of interesting. She's been gone for a really long time.
Well, we did see her at the house show here in La Crosse
at
the SmackDown brand, so maybe that would have been the tip of the hat that she's going to be working with a lot of these gals. It's going to be interesting. She adds a lot of height to that division. She is a big gal. Let's just put it out there. She's a big gal when it comes to the height department. That's a good fit there, because they need someone who could be physically as intimidating as a Charlotte.
Yeah, and I haven't seen her for a long time, so I don't... And even when she was on... I think she was part of like that Team Bad thing when the NXT call-ups were first made, so I don't really remember, but I don't think she wrestled that much. But I don't have a good recollection of what her in-ring work is like.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that she's been working a lot behind the scenes and that she's been coming along really well. So hopefully, you know, aside from just being that bigger, you know, bigger personality, bigger, you know, whatever it is on SmackDown, she can kind of add a little bit to that division that they lost from, you know, a veteran like Mickie James and a heel like Alexa Bliss.
Now, the last one on the SmackDown shakeup is this guy, for some apparent reason, within the last, like, 3 to 4 weeks,
he's gotten, like, more TV time than anybody.
He's become
else.
Super Mr. Relevant, and that's Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, seriously, he's on TV.
Yep.
He was on Raw, like, every week, and whether that was jobbing out to somebody or not, he was working with, like, the top performers, it seemed like, mm-hmm. all the time. He was involved in an angle with, like, Rob Gronkowski, quite possibly the, you know, most famous NFL player right now. And he also concussed Finn Balor on Monday Night Raw, so that was fun.
Yeah.
But, Jinder Mahal, negative percent body fat Jinder Mahal is now on SmackDown, so that should be interesting.
That's definitely going to be interesting. You know, he's very much a dark horse in this shakeup thing. He's a guy who's really coming in, not a whole lot of cachet. He's a diamond in the rough. You can do what you want with him. You can get what you want out of him. So it's going to be very interesting to see where they go with Jinder Mahal.
Because I kind of said that Rusev was probably my favorite move of this whole entire shakeup. If you had to pick one, if I put you on the spot, who would, out of both Raw and SmackDown, if you had to pick one of your favorite move that was made, or maybe like a top three if you can't pick one, what would you say?
I'd say like Bliss going to Raw was big. On the SmackDown side, Owens going over was huge. And I got to agree with the Rusev move.
Yeah.
Man, if there was anyone in need of a new like change of scenery in the direst of ways, it was Rusev. Rusev has got an opportunity. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a top-line heel, but, man, you might know this guy. By the end of the year, I'm putting it out there, top face.
I like that.
Top face Rusev.
I like that. SmackDown. Follow him on Twitter.
I think I do follow him on Twitter.
Well, I'm telling everybody at home, follow him on Twitter.
All right, cool.
Because, I mean, that could totally tip you to the way of thinking that he could be a great face. He's so charismatic, and he's never allowed the time.
Love it when he threw fish at Lana.
Yeah, that was great. Really quick, what I also wanted to talk about before we end our little national segment, Monday Night Raw, big thing happened
where huge.
Braun Strowman beat the living shit out of Roman Reigns
for
10 straight minutes. Jesse, there's two reasons why everybody's talking about this. The first one is because Braun Strowman killed Roman Reigns.
He did.
The second reason everybody's talking about this is because of the reaction that Roman Reigns was getting while he was getting his ass kicked. You know, a lot of people, remember we talked about this last week?
Yeah.
I said, temper your expectations, right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, oh, Roman Reigns is full heel, you know, or he's doing whatever. This dude comes out on Monday Night Raw and basically does the thing that you figured he would have done the night after WrestleMania. Oh, I respect The Undertaker. You know, this is really hard for me, blah, blah, blah. Playing the game that we all thought he was going to eventually play.
Yeah, backtracking a little bit.
Backtracking.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, here comes Braun Strowman.
Out of nowhere.
Just beats his ass for what felt like forever watching it on TV.
Yeah,
but
I watched the edited clip, and it's under 5 minutes. It felt like a half hour.
Yeah, but the thing about him getting his ass beat was that I think, and this is, by the way, this is a WWE edited version that we're actually listening to right now, so you're not going to hear the same crowd noises that you would have heard if you watched it live. But this dude was getting you deserve it chance.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd loved watching him get killed.
He got pushed off a loading dock on a stretcher, and the crowd popped for it.
The crowd popped for it and told him that he deserved it.
Yeah.
Jesse, Roman Reigns, supposedly, by WWE terms, is Raw's biggest face. What's going on? What do they do? I mean, how can you? Here's what I think. What they're trying to do with this angle, I honestly think they're trying to keep him off TV until Payback. So when he comes back, he gets that babyface reaction. Like they Vince McMahon thinks that somehow this is going to make him over or something.
That's the line of the night. Look at these punches, though. Look at the cell.
Just selling it, laying on the stretcher, just totally.
Now, this is really interesting. So the whole ambulance tipping over thing, I'm still trying to figure out how they did it, but the way they shot it, legit. This is a very legit, cool visual, and it almost makes you wonder, what can Braun Strowman not do at this point in time?
But here's the thing. unless their overall end game was to make Braun Strowman the biggest face in the company, what's the point of this?
I think the
how can you not? How can you not cheer this man when he's doing this? Like, how can you not be like, that dude is fucking cool?
Well, yeah, I
how
think
can you not love this guy after this?
Everything we saw on social media afterwards was Braun Strowman killed Roman Reigns. He's a fucking god. Basically, that's what you got. So, one of the things you're ready, you know, you alluded to earlier too. It's like if you, this game is to get Reigns off TV for a bit, so when he comes back, he can get that hero's pop. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen at all at this point in time.
What do you? You know, we sit here and we talk about this week after week, you know, Roman Reigns, just the super over, this baby face, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's stuff like this, which is why people dislike him. You know, going on there and basically being like, oh, Undertaker, I have so much respect,
for
him,
you.
Blah, blah, blah. And then, like, a lot of us are sitting here watching this going, you know, this is awesome, but going, I think WWE wants me to be sympathetic for this guy right now.
Yeah.
It's
as simple as that. They're trying to get his sympathy, and if you're not going to be sympathetic, you're not going to be sympathetic. It's one of those things. I don't know.
You're a big WWE advocate. Are they booking this dude wrong? I mean, is this bad booking by WWE?
I think it's bad not knowing exactly what they should be getting out of this guy at this point.
Like 3 years down the line, and they're still
hey,
trying
to work things. Hey, man, I've been on Wax saying it. They had the perfect opportunity to make him a main man against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, but instead they did the cheap cop-out with Seth Rollins coming out and basically making sure that neither guy won that match.
Right.
Because now if like the end game is to get back to Reigns and Lesnar, fuck, fans are going to shit all over Reigns beating Lesnar.
Right.
They were not going to shit on that night.
Because
they were ready for
it.
Because you go back and you watch that match and you feel that match and you listen to that crowd, they love the shit out of Lesnar beating the crap out of Reigns. But they were earning it. Like, the fans, like, they earned Reigns' respect. Or I don't know how I want to say that.
Reigns,
you know,
earned their respect.
Respect by taking that ass-whipping. And when he was making that comeback, you, me, everyone who was sitting there were like, holy fucking shit. This guy is almost a made man. And then, of course, he had Seth Rollins come out. Yeah, look at me. Cashes in and just kind of ruined the whole thing. Because then you got into this holding pattern with Reigns that he was jobbed out of his belt. And he doesn't play a sympathetic fucking face because he's not sympathetic at all. He's a jacked up muscle dude. He's not sympathetic.
Do you think the only way for WWE to get this guy to that monster, super hardcore, just biggest face, you know, to take the reins after John Cena officially actually hangs up the boots, the only way for him to get there is to turn this guy heel for a short period of time, get that heat, and then maybe make that turn once again, maybe a year or two down the line? We've talked about this before. All of your biggest faces, maybe aside from Hulk Hogan, have always been heels beforehand. It's like
Hogan was a heel before.
Was he?
First run in the territory, he was a heel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that was before WWF, correct?
No, that was in...
That was during WWF.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So basically,
Jesse Wrestling,
when he had his run with Andre leading up to basically Rocky... What was it, Rocky III? So Hogan left for Rocky III. Vince Sr. didn't want him to do Rocky III. That's why he ended up leaving. So he had his payoff match with Andre. He was a heel during that time. When he came back, he was a mega face because of his run over in the AWA.
So then that even further explains, you know, maybe this... I hate
Except
to be that guy.
Bruno. Except for Bruno. Bruno was well-loved by all the fans his whole run, but there's a different time and place. I think with Reigns, it's not so much like you try to build this fake sympathy for him. Let him go out there and be him.
Let him be Braun Strowman.
No, not even let him be Braun Strowman, because then he's being someone else. Let Roman Reigns be Roman Reigns.
I'm just saying, if he would have tipped over a fucking ambulance with fucking Triple H in it or some shit, he would have gotten cheered. I'll bet you money that even though people hate Roman Reigns, if anybody, you have freaking James Ellsworth tip over an ambulance, that dude will get cheered. That shit's crazy.
No, because they'd be like, I'm phoning out. James Ellsworth just tipped an ambulance. But,
changes
Nick, you know,
channel.
We need to get to that interview with Sean Priest. I mean, we've been teasing this interview for 4 months, and we're already about, like, 45 minutes into the show, and we need to get this interview.
Yep, so we're going to take a break real quick. Spotlight in the Squared Circle, AC Riley's interview with Sean Priest is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestler's Brewery Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Ruden, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling. Since 1997.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Spotlight Squared Circle, sitting down here with Sean Priest. We're hanging out after BCW, heavyweight champion in the house. So, Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How about you?
Doing good. So that's something that's kind of a big deal, too, because you won the belt February, I want to say.
Nope, it was April.
April. And
I don't know. I can't remember the date, but I know it was in April.
It was in April. Okay, so.
I was in a triple threat match.
It was a triple threat? I thought it was a singles.
No, for the March show. March show, I'm backtracking. March show, I was in a triple threat match against Dysfunction and Tyler Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Because Joey Avalon hurt his back, so he couldn't make it the show.
That's right.
That's in March. That happened in March.
That's right. And yeah, March. March he couldn't make it. And then April. It was, yeah. Okay. We were talking about that. So that's kind of a big deal in itself, because we were talking with a couple people on the regarding Sean Priest being the BCW heavyweight champion, because if I'm not mistaken, you're either the first or the first in a long time, but the first homegrown champion. Because if you look at all the previous champions, Joey Avalon, Dojo Pain, Sadist Dojo Pain, Matt Winchester, Harley Race Camp, everything. Like, you're one of the guys that actually got trained in the BCW Academy, the Thumper's Den, as it's called. So what's that like to kind of either be the first homegrown champion or the first in a while? Because I don't have, like, the list next to me. You look at me right now. You know I don't have a list next to me. But, I mean, bottom line, you're the first homegrown champ in a while. What's that like?
I mean, it's awesome, but I gotta correct you. It wasn't the Thumper's Den.
It wasn't the Thumper's Den.
But I did train at Bruce City.
It's the Thumper's Den now.
It is. But I was trained by Matt, which is funny because I had my first fantasy camp February 18, 2011. I did the camp, paid to do the camp, and he seen that I was an actual natural, which is weird, man. Because it's just weird to me. But you found that out. And seeing that I was a natural, and I had my first match in March the next month.
So you had the fantasy camp, and then a month later you had your first match.
Yep.
Well, that's weird. Because it's and granted, there's always that learning curve. Because right. I mean, I remember when I started training, like they're like, oh, you know, you start the camp and on average it's like 6 months to kind of learn everything. Yeah. That's more if you take more time to learn. There's less if you catch it. But I mean, a month after your first training camp, I mean, that's got to be something.
But you know what? You got to understand too, the way that I was trained was that we didn't have a school, so everywhere Matt went, I went. And if we can get in the ring for 2 hours, man, that was our training.
Okay.
I get in the ring with Matt for 2 hours, training before shows, help set up the ring and get in the ring and help. I mean, train and stuff, so that was my training. So my first match was against Matt Longtime.
Okay, I remember that guy.
For ICW. And I was a gay character. Do you remember Lamar Latrell from Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah.
That was my first gimmick, which is weird.
That's really weird.
Well, you know what? It was a footstep in the door, and I took it. That was my first introduction to a crowd, how to be around a crowd, how to react to a crowd, what to say and do. But I'm still learning.
But I think everybody's learning. Yeah. That's kind of goes without
if
saying.
If you
know everything, just quit.
You're done. But that was my introduction.
So you talk about an evolution of character, because you went from Lamar from Revenge of the Nerds, this flamboyant character. We won't say gay, because that just seems like blood. It's like, you're gay. It's like, you're not.
Very flamboyant.
You're flamboyant. That's a better way to say it. So you went from flamboyant to now you're His Holiness Sean Priest. You're a religious character, which...
I don't want to cut you off, but I have to backtrack again.
You got to backtrack.
I got to backtrack again, because it was Lamar Latrell. Then I changed to Lamar Priest. Then I went to Sean Priest, which the name was different, yeah. But the gimmick, I didn't know what I was. It was just, okay, I'm a guy wearing blue, shiny pants. I don't know. But how I became Priest was watching a movie. Do you remember the movie Priest?
I do not, but enlighten me.
Well, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I get it. Enlighten me.
Yeah. But the movie, I seen a movie, and I thought, man, this is really good. A guy, he has a hood. He has a cross painted on his face. He's saving the world from demons and vampires. Like, what could I do that's like that but different? So I became Sean Priest. I was the spiritual advisor, the guy with the big cross, and I went through a whole evolution with that, where I dropped the spiritual advisor and I went to His Holiness, something bigger and grand.
Sure.
And I started dressing more like a priest or more of a pope.
Okay.
So I started taking more of that persona.
So it's kind of a bit of an evolution, too. I mean, I think I actually saw a couple old photos when you were the spiritual advisor and you had the mohawk almost. Yeah. I was just like, man, I'm kind of glad that he shaved that. It's like seeing Jared Jackson with hair when you see him just bald for so long. It's just, oh, just get rid of that. So are you a religious guy? Because, like, for me, doing your manager gimmick, doing the Dark Deacon, like, you know, being a religious guy, like, for me, that's kind of like a new learning curve, because, like, yeah, I've gone to church, but I would consider myself the, hey, I'll see you in church every Sunday and then, you know, on Saturday and all that stuff. Like, I don't consider myself a very religious guy, but I have to put on this character that I am a religious guy. So are you a natural with it? Are you a religious person?
Yes, I'm born again, so yes, I am a very religious person. Go to church every Sunday. Park Line Assembly of God is right there. It's in Milwaukee on Fond du Lac and Sherman. So, yes, I do go to church faithfully. It's not a gimmick. That's who I am. I am certified online, if that counts, as a minister. So, yeah, I would like to say it's real.
So, for the record, if you were listening, Assembly of God Church here in Milwaukee. If you're a wrestling fan, you like Sean Price, even if you hate him, and you like to go to church, and maybe consider moving to the Assembly of God, because then you're like, oh my God, that's Sean Price.
Yes.
You get all starstruck while you're going to church.
No. Which is funny, because my pastor followed me on Instagram.
Really?
And Twitter. Shout out to I'm sorry. I'm getting.
Trying to shout out to your pastor and you can't even remember his name. Big time.
Hey, you shut your mouth though.
Big time, Sean Breeze.
Pastor Harvey.
I think it's just weird that your pastor has Instagram. Is it me? Like yeah.
I mean, listen.
He's a human being, like everybody.
We all have life outside of church.
Sure.
He's a normal guy.
No, it's just one of those things where it's like you know this guy as like a priest. You know him as the guy that you see every Sunday, and it's one of those things where it's like some people like it'd be weird for me to like, oh hey, our police chief, I follow him on Instagram. It's like that's just two things I didn't expect to put together. So I just think it's a little weird that he has an Instagram. Not saying it's wrong. It's just a weird. Like I don't know how you feel about it, but it's. It just feels kind of interesting to see those people that you kind of are like, yeah, they're people, but they're not. It's like when you're a kid and right. You assume that your teacher just lived at school, that they didn't go home like a normal person. They're just like, oh, okay, see you guys later. I grab my bed and yeah. I'll see you guys in class. Because honestly, that made sense why they got up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's actually true. No, but we're all normal people, man. He has a family. He has a normal life. His job is to preach the word. That's his job. He can go home, be on Instagram, follow people, be on Twitter, follow people. That's his word. He uses that as a tool to inspire people. You know, that's why I think social media was created was to inspire people.
Sure, definitely. So
connect and inspire.
Yeah, makes sense. So. So with the religious gimmick, you know, as somebody that is born again and, yeah. You know, goes to church, is it kind of weird that, like, kind of being the villain while using your religious gimmick, is it kind of like, do you ever feel like you're dragging your religion through the dirt? Or do you, because, like, I mean, granted, everybody kind of looked at, like, the Crusades as villainous, but it was, like, for a religious cause. So, like, technically, as the character, you're doing the right thing. People just don't like you for it.
Okay, this is the thing, though.
Here's the thing.
This is the thing.
He's going to tell me the thing.
This is, I mean, it's the thing. The thing. It's
the thing. Not anything.
The thing. No, but seriously, the way I look at it is this. I give the word of God, and some overweight lady could look at me, you are son of a, you know, because... He don't want us to know those things, or I don't know. It's just they look at things different, but I'm giving you the word.
It's amazing.
I the bad guy for giving you the word of God? Why am I the bad guy for telling you not to sin? Why am I the bad guy that's telling you you're going to hell if you keep doing all these sinful things, drinking and fornicating? Why am I the bad guy for telling you these things? Why do you vilify me because I'm telling you the word of God?
Sure.
That's the word. It's in the Bible. Everything in the Bible was true. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I live my life. So
the truth hurts.
Yeah. So me, you thinking or you calling me a villain because I'm delivering the word of God. That's hogwash. That's bull.
It's hogwash. It's malarkey.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, too, because you tag up with William Jacobs, yeah. Sons of Genesis, and I always find it hilarious. It's hilarious because it's kind of the same concept that you're talking about because, you know, he comes up, give worship to the high priest, boo.
Yeah.
If you boo me, you're all going to hell. Even bigger boos. I'm just thinking it's like, and they're all going to hell according to him. Right. And it's kind of an interesting concept because, like, really, that's the only two lines he really delivers, but that's the only two lines he needs.
Exactly, because why – my thing is, why would you boo a man of God? That's just like going to church and the pastor is telling you that – You're going to hell because you're doing this, but you need to change your ways. I can save you, or the Lord can save you, and you stand up and boo this man in church. Mm-hmm. The whole church will get up and look at you like you're just, but why?
Yeah.
I'm a man of God. I'm giving you the word. Why are you booing me? Why are you vilifying me? Why are you telling me that I'm bad and I'm evil because I'm telling you the truth? The truth hurts. We all know this.
I gotta ask this. Do you ever have to go to confession for anything that you do at shows? Do you ever have to be like, man, I did. That was probably not really good of me, and I'm gonna have to go to the confession now to absolve my sins. Or did you just go in? It's like it's just, you know, it's time to pray.
The way I do it is this: I pray before shows. I ask forgiveness. After I'm done doing what I'm doing, I pray again and I ask for forgiveness. I'm asking him to forgive me for my sins, even though I know it's his will. But still, it's in me to ask him, please forgive me for this. I know that you want this. I may go too far giving you this, but please accept my apology. I'm sorry.
Sure. So you follow your pastor follows you on Instagram. So we're kind of full circle here, but it follows you on Instagram. Does he ever follow your wrestling shows? Do you ever when he's like, I don't know how is that your church, but anytime I would go to church afterwards, everybody would be leaving and the pastor would say goodbye to everybody. So he ever stop you and like, hey, you know, yesterday I saw your show and oh man, you were just really villainous. Did they ever stop you and just kind of say like, hey man, didn't really appreciate all the bad things you were saying last show? Or no. Does he go to any shows at all? That'd be kind of cool because then you have like that weekend bond with him. I mean, then he sees your shows and then you see him on church and it's kind of like, hey, you're coming to my function, I'm coming to yours, and you guys have that almost bond to talk about. It's like,
right. But no, he never been to a show. I never asked them to come. I never invited them. So maybe soon.
What was the name of the pastor again?
Pastor Harvey.
Pastor Harvey, start coming to the Sean Priest shows. I think that'd be a great conversation. Just if you're listening, you might be. Who knows? Just come on to a show, because I mean, he's got shows in Milwaukee, so it's not like it's a long drive. No, it's not. Just come to a show, because I would love just to hear the reaction of you reacting to him at BCW on Friday, and then he comes to church, and then you have an opportunity to you have the speaking time with him, and he's like, hey, you know, I need to talk to you, my son.
Oh man, but yeah, I never invited him to a show.
Well, you should start doing that. It'd be a great conversation.
Hey, don't pastor. Hey, pastor, you mind coming to this show?
You got to invite him on Sunday.
I'm beating this man up for God. Sure.
Dude, that would be a great invitation. See, when I invite people, I'm just like, hey, you're always trying to come to my shows because you're asking one that's local. Here's a local one. Think about that. If you went to the priest to your pastor and you're like, hey, I'm going to beat this guy up for God, you should come to the show. That's a great selling point.
It is. It really is. I got to get on that.
So you should do that. Please do that, because I'm looking forward to that conversation.
When I do it, I'm going to screenshot it and I'm going to send it to you.
Yes.
And see what it
do
see.
All of that, because I'm excited for it. So, Sean, how do people follow you on social media accounts? Because you got Anarchy Pro on December 10th. This might be playing after that. I think you're done for the rest of the year, you said.
Yeah.
Rise to Honor, BCW. I'm sure this will play before that. So Rise to Honor here at the Knights of Columbus, January 13th. But how do people follow you on your social media accounts? And maybe there's a promoter listening is like, you know what? I want this guy to beat people up in the name of God.
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Sean Priest. Well,
we know you can follow on Instagram, right? Sorry.
Hey, you watch it, okay?
Sorry, finish your Instagram.
But Instagram at Sean Priest. You can follow me on Twitter, Sean_Priest. You can follow me on Facebook, Sean Priest. It's all in my name.
For the record, I'm really glad that you finally changed your Facebook name to Sean Priest, because I just remember like you really utilized the whole gimmick name, because your first name was His Holiness and then your last name was Sean Priest, and it's just like, oh boy.
No, what's funny is I got a thing from Facebook. Hey, we need an ID with your name stating that this is your name. It's like, I can't find one. I can find posters. No. But His Holiness is not on the posters. Sean Priest on the poster.
Sure.
So I couldn't find one. So I just, whatever, man.
So Mark Zuckerberg got you.
Yeah, he got me.
Awesome. Well, fun time talking to you. Always a pleasure talking to you. So thank you for being on the spotlight this week.
Thank you.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 316 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
It's not about the shoes. It's about knowing where you're going. Not forgetting where you started. It's about having the courage to fail. Not breaking when you're broken. Taking everything you've been given and making something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Why do I love professional wrestling? I love the incredible action.
The awesome stories.
The larger-than-life characters.
I've been watching wrestling since I was a little kid. And believe me, that's been a long time.
It's good triumphing over evil.
It's having a hero to cheer for and a villain to boo.
It's something that can bring the whole family together.
So who does this stuff? Who is wrestling?
It's the wrestlers who chase their dreams to make it. From the couch to the square circle.
The ref!
The managers!
And the commentators who add to the spectacle.
It's the fans who bring their energy,
their passion, and their love to the arenas.
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I?
Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling. I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
I am wrestling.
Who am I? I am wrestling. This movement is a worldwide movement. I Am Wrestling represents you, the wrestlers, you, the fans, and you, the wrestling company, worldwide. Wait no longer. Join now.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word on about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hello, fellow bar patrons. This is the Ring of Honor top prospect, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester.
And the Beer City Bruiser, no slouch. Many regional titles, came here with a reputation.
And you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Welcome back to Grapple Talk. Great interview AC Riley had the chance to do with Sean Priest. Looking forward to seeing more of what Sean Priest can do down the line. Obviously, young guy still, and doing some great things over there in BCW. And super awesome dude. You know, Sean Priest is one of those guys. I met him, it might have been during like a 7RW show quite a few years ago.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, and I didn't see him for like 5 years. Came up with you guys to a BCW show, and he still remembered me. You know, that doesn't happen very often. I'm a pretty quiet, when we go to shows, I'm pretty quiet. You know, I'll shake hands and I'll talk to, you know, some of the boys and stuff. But, you know, I'm a pretty quiet dude. And, you know, to think that I probably talked to Sean Priest for a couple minutes at 7RW, and then I saw him at BCW, and he's like, oh, what's up, man? How's it going? You know, it's like,
now, was
like,
that the 7RW show where you're the infamous Misfit Manners,
yeah,
Sexy Casey
yep,
angle?
Show.
Yeah,
yep,
everyone
yep.
remembers that.
Yeah, maybe that's why he remembers that. But, yeah, but was super cool guy, and looking forward more to, you know, see more of what he can do as he continues to grow in his wrestling career.
The sky's the limit for the kid. He's still young. He's like a sponge. He just sits there and he listens and he takes it all in,
mm-hmm.
and he applies it back to his match.
Yep.
They ran a really good angle last time we were at BCW where Winchester was trying to convince him to join the Heathens,
yep.
you know, and it looked like for a second there that you know, Sean Priest was going to do it. You know, he was going to stick with his villainous ways. And then Sean Priest did probably the unthinkable in a lot of people's eyes. He took on the Heathens. I mean, the whole ring was filled with Heathens at this point. There's like 7-8 of them. Sean Priest ends up doing the last rites there on Matt Winchester. The crowd popped. I mean, the pop was loud. It was like, that's the loudest pop of the night.
Right.
And he almost did the whole Diamond Dallas Page turn against the Outsiders at that point in time. And you're just like, made man right there.
Yeah.
It was a good way, good visual to end that night for BCW. So we're going to go back down there this Friday night. That's going to be a big show for them. It's going to be interesting where they go after this.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, that interview was 4 months ago, so maybe we'll have to catch up with him here in the next couple of months because that interview, I mean,
and then maybe sit on that one for another 4 months.
Just keep sitting on Sean Priest interviews for 4 months just to see how, you know, just because. Why not? Really quick, something that I wanted to make sure that we talked about here before we wrap the show up and get to some of our later segments.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. And part of the reason why they're talking about that is because of Okada. This dude is seemingly on a whole nother level. I know that you were pretty big on his match over the weekend with Shibata. Obviously, that having kind of a there was a little bit of a headbutt in that matchup. But aside from that matchup, and we can always obviously talk about that too if you'd like, but I want, you know, Jesse, being a guy that watches quite a bit of New Japan Pro Wrestling and seen quite a bit of Okada, talk about the year this dude is having. I mean, is he literally having one of the best pro wrestling years in the history of pro wrestling?
Yeah. Simple as that. Like, ever since he won the belt back from Naito, like, the tear he's been on has proven that he is, like, the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling, bar none. I mean, this was a company that last year lost AJ Styles, Nakamura, you know, Gallows, and Anderson. And it was one of those things where a lot of people put New Japan, like, dead to rights. They thought they were going to regress. They've done the opposite of that. They've actually grown. You look at the box office draws for him and Mira Fuji set records at that point in time. His matches with Ishii have been good. The Omega match at Wrestle Kingdom has been, like, you know, praised as a 6-star classic.
Right.
It still basically has set the bar for already, like, an amazing 2017 when it comes to wrestling. The, like, in-ring product this year has been, like, bar none. His match with Shibata basically is indicative of this whole run for Okada. It's one of those runs where, yeah, he's the ace right now, but he's very beatable as well. It's almost like a classic Flair run for, like, the mid-'80s.
That's what I've been hearing people
compare
it to.
You know, where you can definitely tell that this guy's on another level, but these other guys are bringing their A game every night. And you can't talk about Okada being on his run without the dancing partners he has. He's working with some of the best talent on the planet, bar none, right now. And he's also got a big matchup coming up with Big Luck Fale coming up. That's really going to stretch, like, how great is this Okada guy right now? Yeah, he's on another level right now, Nick. I don't think there's another worker on the planet who can lace up his boots and do what he's doing right now. Biggest sumo hall draw they've had in, like, 7 years.
Really?
Him and Shibata.
Wow.
It was... Nick, you gotta watch this match. This match is just absolutely fucking phenomenal. It was one of those matches where, you know, you almost expected maybe a title change, and the action was just top-notch from start to finish. It's a match. I go out of your way and watch it. Like, I watched it, you know, like, Sunday night, and I'm just like, man. Man, that was good. Like, I had to go out and have a cigarette afterwards. That's how good it was. So, yeah, Nick, I can't say enough good things about Okada.
I'm like,
we've been praising this guy for years on Grapple Talk, and there's a reason why. And this reason why this guy is going to be the biggest star probably for the next decade.
I'm just going to remind everybody that he's only 29, too.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Let's jump on one of our new segments, This Day in Wrestling History, thanks to our buddies over at Cage Side Seats. Jesse, what do you got for us?
All right, well, this day 30 years ago, a somber moment in pro wrestling is Mike Von Erich actually killed himself in an intentional overdose. Of course, this was part of the whole Von Erich mystique, you know. It was one of those things where I believe Mike Von Erich ended up having a really, really terrible shoulder separation. And it was one where he ended up going into surgery. While having surgery, he ended up getting a staph infection. And a lot of people at that point in time didn't come back from that type of thing. He basically spent 3 days in the hospital with like 109 fever. basically lost his mind, like lost his frame, almost everything. But he came out of it on the back end. But he didn't come out the same type of cat. I know a lot of people want to say, you know, wrestling in the 80s was just a bad time for a lot of people. That guy got dealt a really rough hand when it came to that injury and that recovery. It was a tough thing for him to continue, and it was a sad day definitely for Dallas Wrestling and for the Von Erich family.
23 years ago, we had WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, at the time taping their 400th episode of Wrestling Challenge from the War Memorial Auditorium in Rochester, New York. And it's so weird when you look at some old-school WWF stuff and just see some of the names on here, like Lex Luger, Jeff Jarrett, the 1-2-3 Kid, one of your personal favorites.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of interesting to see some stuff like that and realizing that it happened 23 years ago.
Now, when we're looking at one of these matches, too, that happened that night, it's a match of guys who were repackaged and became very successful later on, as you had Thurman Sparky Plug taking on PJ Walker. Now, Spark Plug, you know him as Hardcore Holly these days, and PJ Walker went on to be known as Just Incredible.
Well, there you go. What a weird thing that happened 23 years ago. 20 years ago, Jesse, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Battle Formation 97 occurred, and you know, I would butcher those names if I read those. I'm not.
Hey man, go ahead and read them.
All right, you want me to? Is this a challenge?
So
we had Riki Choshu and Kensuke Sasaki defeating Tatsumi Fujinami and Kenjo Kimura to win the IWGP Tag Team Championships. You know, honestly, if I said that more convincing, you probably wouldn't even know that I probably butchered those names pretty hardcore.
Yeah, here's another one that's pretty cool. 18 years ago today on Raw is War in Detroit, Michigan, the Godfather captured the Intercontinental Championship from Goldust, and probably one of the best segments of all time also happened on this episode. We went back and watched it, and folks, we're going to join it now in progress.
Trailer park track, walking God's green earth. You want to press your belt? Well, there it is. Will you bring your candy at?
Here we go now. The fist fight is on.
Of course, we're talking about Austin and The Rock back there in Detroit. Of course, a year prior to this one, Austin had tossed the belt, the Intercontinental Championship of The Rock's, over the bridge. So this time, The Rock returned the favor by tossing Austin over the bridge.
This is my childhood, man. I literally remember watching this on Raw, like when I was a little kid.
Your childhood involved men being thrown off bridges.
Yeah, like I definitely remember this. I had it on VHS, too. It was one of the highlights of one of Rock's old VHS tapes.
Better beat down. This one or Strowman Reigns?
This one. I mean, you can't go against. I mean, I grew up with this stuff, man. I can't go against this, the famous bridge segment. I mean, what about WCW when you had Hogan and Big Show on the bridge? You remember that at all? Were they on top of a building or something?
They were on top of a building. I will never forget that. Monster trucks were involved.
That was pretty terrible. All right, so 14 years ago today in Philly, we had B-Boy defeating Sanjay Dutt to win the 2003 CZW Best of the Best tournament. Not the only time that you'll be hearing that tournament referenced on this day in history.
Now, Combat Zone Wrestling, their Best of the Best tournament, is one of the most prestigious indie tournaments going on today. They had a hellacious one over the course of WrestleMania weekend. And looking at some of the names that are actually involved in this tournament from 14 years ago, you had Ruckus, Chris Cash, Trent Acid, Rick Blade, Tony Mameluke, Little Cholo, Deranged, Jay Briscoe, Jimmy Rave, Jason Cruz, AJ Styles, and Mark Briscoe.
Yeah,
of course,
Briscoe's and AJ Styles on there.
Yeah. Briscoe was injured, and so Ruckus took his place. Go figure
that one. 8 years ago, PWG Pro Wrestling Guerrilla presented 100 from American Legion Post 308 in California. We kind of talked about this a little bit before we started filming today, but just looking at the names of this card, this is why it's so great seeing the integration of indie wrestlers in the WWE and in TNA and in, you know, New Japan, because like some of these names are becoming so popular nowadays that looking back 8 years ago, it's crazy to think that these guys actually were in the same ring together. You know, you had the Young Bucks taking on the Cutler brothers, Roderick Strong taking on Scott Lost. Here's one that probably would blow, you know, make people cheese their pants. Bryan Danielson, who's now more popularly known as Daniel Bryan, beat Kenny Omega via submission. You also had Joey Ryan taking on Paul London. Austin Aries was there. Davey Richards was there. A guy by the name of Tyler Black was there, who's now Seth Rollins. El Generico was there. Chris Hero defeated Colt Cabana in the main event to retain the world championship. So stacked card, and just like a lot of those guys now making it to the main stage. Cool to see.
You've seen a lot of these guys who main evented WrestleMania on this list.
Yeah.
Wrestling in American Legion.
I know. Isn't that weird? Just
that
crazy
is, that
thing
is
about.
Awesome.
It's so cool to know. How about 7 years ago, in Raw, we saw that Eve Torres defeated somebody by the name of Maryse for the WWE at the time Divas Championship. So, yeah, for those of you newer wrestling fans that just see Maryse as some eye candy next to Miz, she was actually a pretty good wrestler, an in-ring competitor at one point.
Of course, 6 years ago on SmackDown, a battle royal to determine the number one contender for Alberto Del Rio's vacated World Heavyweight Championship. Actually, in that one, Christian ended up winning that match. You got to remember, too, it was earlier that week, too, that Edge had basically retired from the WWE as well. So Christian was in that late push. He actually got a really good push out of that whole deal. Had some good matches there with Alberto Del Rio and as well with Randy Orton that whole summer.
Definitely. And also 5 years ago to get today, again, mentioning CZW's Best of Best 2012 tournament. Looking at some of the names that were involved in that tournament, you had guys like Rich Swann, Tommy Yen, who's now Aleister Black, Uha Nation, who's now Apollo Crews, who's now on Raw. So a lot of great talent.
Biff Busick was in that one. Jonathan Gresham.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You know, so big time.
A lot of big-time indie superstars wrestling for CZW
five years ago. Let's skip the one-night-only X-Division show. Also, and TNA was doing their one-night-only pay-per-views at that point in time. And, of course, last year at this day as well, we lost Balls Mahoney.
We did, yeah, that's right, at 44 years of age. And the only other thing that worth noting, 12 years ago today, at the bottom of the Cage Side Seats page, that's kind of interesting to take a look at. They always give nice little tidbits. Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle beating Eddie Guerrero at a SmackDown taping in Chicago, which actually received a 4.25 star rating from the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer. So it's not often that you get those 4+ star matches on Raws and SmackDowns. Obviously, everybody that ever got to see Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle in the ring knew that these dudes had crazy chemistry, and they were able to show that off during a SmackDown in Chicago.
Well, SmackDown at that point in time was really known as like the workers' show. If you wanted to go see a really good match, you would watch SmackDown, and you got two prime examples right there of two guys who could kill it every time in the ring.
Definitely. So again, you can hit up Cage Side Seats if you want to take a look at whatever day it is that you are currently listening to this podcast in wrestling history. Of course, it is April the 12th when we're recording this. Most likely won't get posted until the 13th or 14th.
Probably the 14th.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you want to find that out, just head up Cage Side Seats and look up their nice little section on wrestling history. It's a really cool read just to kind of look back at what happened. Again, you know, seeing some of the differences that 5 or 8 years has made in the wrestling industry. So do that. Speaking of history, we got some shows coming up here at the end of the month. Jesse, I think you said Ring of Honor is going to be coming to Milwaukee at the end of April.
Ring of Honor will be back in Milwaukee April 28th. It's a Friday night. Make sure if you don't have your tickets now, get your tickets. They're going to go quick, guys. Right. This one's actually a very interesting show. Ring of Honor's got this code of honor, right? For this show, they're voting the code of honor. It's unauthorized. The rules are a little lax in this one, and you get a chance to see Milwaukee native Silas Young take it on Jay Lethal. That's going to be a big matchup. The Beer City Bruiser will be there as well in a four-way match. He's taking on, I believe it's Punishment Martinez, who's become like a huge star for Ring of Honor. Just like what's probably started as very ironic has turned into unironic because he's actually getting over, and a lot of people are actually really kind of pumped for him.
Right.
He's getting a lot of comparisons to Baron Corbin, if Baron Corbin was good.
I think Baron Corbin's good, man. Go watch that Triple Threat SmackDown match that they had, the main event. It was a pretty good match.
Cheeseburger's also going to be in that matchup. Adam Cole's going to be there. This is just going to be a jam-packed show. You want to make sure you get there. You're going to see the IWGP Tag Team Champions War Machine going to be there as well in six-person tag match. It's just going to be a good night. The Ring of Honor always runs a hellacious show in Milwaukee. That Pabst Theater, if you want to go see a wrestling show there, you got to do it. Make sure it's Ring of Honor. It's one of the best parties you're going to see.
Definitely. And then for this weekend, if you want to catch the Grapple Talk boys, Jesse will be at BCW on Friday.
Yep.
Looking forward to that one?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. BCW's got a lot of different things moving forward at this point. They're really pushing this Heathens angle. That's going to be really interesting to see how that one develops as the year goes on. You're also running a concurrent angle with Marche Rocket taking on the Perfect Tens. That's going to be interesting to see where that one goes. You're going to see Acid Jazz there, Nick. You should come down and see Acid Jazz.
Yeah, I should definitely try to do that. You know, Saturday.
So, yeah, Saturday as well. We're going to be in Stevens Point for Wisconsin Pro Wrestling. That's going to be an interesting
Boiling
one.
Point. Always a fun show that they do. It's kind of a little bit out of their it's out of their normal area of, I guess, booking. But, you know, in previous years, it's been really successful, been really good shows. I'll actually be in my first ever match.
Now, this is your first ever match, like, period, right? Are you nervous?
Not really.
Have you been hitting the gym?
No.
Have you tried to get in cardio shape for this match?
No.
Are you running?
No.
Are you watching what you're eating?
I'm playing lots of WWF WrestleMania 2000. You know, I'm kind of, like, getting my moveset taken care of, and yeah, so.
It's you and AC Riley. Who you guys taking on?
We're taking on Derek St. Holmes and WPW owner Ronald Paprocki, so. Should be an interesting. It should be an all-time classic. All right,
so if I was you, Nick, I would stock up on a few things, like Icy Hot.
Okay.
I would probably find like some aspirin.
You know what my plan is, both shoot and work.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna keep tagging AC Riley in, regardless of what happens. I'm just not gonna do anything.
You're not going to do anything?
Personally, I'm pretty sure, you know, not to break the fourth wall, but I think that's the point of the whole match, too, because I'm pretty sure a guy like Derek St. Holmes, who has been around the block and been around for a long time, most likely doesn't want to be in the ring with a guy that has no formal training. And that's just my guess.
Yeah.
Would that be your guess?
Yeah, but I would assume at some point in time.
I would probably take more than a bump at some point.
I'll probably
get killed at some point, but I don't think I'm going to have to throw any head scissor takedowns or anything.
No. So, Hurricane Rana's.
Probably not on my moveset for this for this matchup. I'm pretty sure the only thing I'll end up doing is nothing. So
I think Powder should be on your moveset.
Probably. So have fun calling that.
I'm going to have a blast calling that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Lots of fun to have this weekend. If you want to go to a show this weekend, you can hit up our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Otherwise, hit up our Twitter. We are at The Grapple Talk. We post the upcoming shows every week. So if you maybe have an itch to go see some wrestling or, you just want to stay well informed on some of the shows that are happening around your area, we've got you covered. So just go there and see all the fun, colorful posters and stay up to date.
Yeah, and if it's one of those things where we miss a show, let us know.
Let us know.
Because we will pump that show up.
Yeah. Like, it's not like we personally, us two and AC Riley, we have access to that page. So we can get that stuff fixed ASAP. Or we can get it added on or whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just want to talk about your favorite color or what you're doing this weekend. Or maybe, if you're having a poor dating life, maybe Jesse Von Rudin can kind of counsel you a little bit on that.
Yeah, I can be like, hey, man, you got to swipe bar it a little bit more often.
Yeah, just don't go to our Facebook page and just automatically assume that the only thing that you can talk about is wrestling. Like, we'll talk about anything, right? Favorite cereal.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Raisin Bran Crunch.
Shut up, is it really?
Yeah, it is.
No way.
I'm going to go home after this and eat a giant bowl.
Why am I not surprised by that?
Why?
Because, I don't know.
It's good cereal, man.
It's like the most boring cereal in the world.
No, you know what the most boring cereal in the world is?
Bran Crunch without the raisins?
Duh.
Cornflakes?
Cornflakes is actually, it's not boring.
Frosted cornflakes aren't boring.
That's Frosted Flakes.
Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
With Tony the Tiger.
Actually, Grape Nuts. Grape Nuts is pretty boring.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that Raisin Bran Crunch is the most.
No, it's not. It's got a crunch to it. Doesn't make it boring.
All right, well. Coming up next week, guys, we will obviously be doing another Grapple Talk. We're trying to wrap things up here. Didn't unfortunately have a chance to touch on the whole JBL Mauro Ranallo thing that's happening with WWE right now. I think that, personally, that's too big of a thing to try to squeeze into a couple of minutes. So, I'm assuming one of these next couple of weeks that we won't have as much to talk about as far as the national scene, and we'll try to talk quite a bit about that.
So I think this is one of those stories where you want to have more information.
Right.
With not so much like hearsay that you hear, because right now it feels there's two different parties in this camp, and they're very divided. There is the Fire JBL camp, and there is the Grow a Set camp. That's just the nicest way of saying it. I don't know which camp. I'm down the middle on this one.
Yep,
I'm really down the middle on this one because it's one of those things where it's not just being PC saying we're down the middle on this one, because it can go both ways. Really.
Exactly, and that's the point is right now, but I mean, maybe in the next week or two we'll learn a lot more about it, because we see these major news outlets are starting to cover the story, like Yahoo Sports. There's a couple other that
CBS Sports picked it up. It was interesting, too, because like, over the weekend we saw Meltzer basically put Coachman on blast. Yep. Like, why isn't ESPN covering this one? And Coachman's just like, no, Andrew's a hack journalist, all that stuff. And it got to the point where Coachman decided that he's not going to cover WWE anymore. So that was
weird.
That was a very interesting take. And then there was some hot takes that, you know, inside rumors that basically Coachman was making sure he didn't say anything bad about the situation, because there happens to be the rumor that Coachman might be on one of the cutting lines when it comes to ESPN cutting back on some of their talent.
Oh, never know, I guess. It should be an interesting thing for us to bring up. Just wanted to make sure I brought that up, because I don't want to go this whole episode without even acknowledging that, because it's a huge story right now in WWE, but I think we just, you know, we like to cover the current news, and I think with the whole JBL thing that's happening, that's something that's going to be developing over time, and as you kind of mentioned, I don't want to sit here and make assumptions or whatever about what's happening when in a couple of weeks we could find something else out that's totally discredits
and
anything that we say.
This could be one of those things, too, where it could just be blown out of proportions based on internet rumor and innuendo.
Exactly.
And by the time we actually get around to maybe talking about it, then whatever situation be cleared up. Best of luck tomorrow, though. Like, going forward, doing whatever he wants to do. He got to live his dream. He got to do wrestling commentary for the biggest company in the world. But this guy is one of the best commentators of, like, period, bar none, going today. He's going to bounce back doing whatever he wants to do. And JBL, like, a lot of people want to say some really negative things about him, but he's very good at what he does as well. Sometimes, as a commentator, you and me do commentary from time to time. Sometimes you just don't gel with a partner.
Right.
And you hope that you can take care of that behind the scenes without it being blown up to exponential proportions.
Yep.
In a situation like this, I think it's been blown out of proportion, and hopefully we can find out what exactly happened.
Definitely. So we'll probably be talking about that here at some point over the next couple of weeks, as you mentioned, you know, best of luck tomorrow and whatever it is he does. I know a lot of people are really sad to see him go, but you know what? If this guy is having some problems and issues that he needs to deal with, and those include not coming back to WWE, fully endorse everything that he has going on and looking forward to what projects he has coming up down the line. And really quick before we go, I just want to say RIP Charlie Murphy, man. That makes me sad.
I know. I saw that today, and I was just like, man. I didn't even know he was sick.
I saw him, like, I just saw him, like, walking down the street.
Yeah.
I saw him on, like, television a couple of months ago.
Yeah, of course he did. And you're like, hey, Charlie Murphy. Right?
Hey, Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
And he did not look good a couple of months ago. Like, just, like, the weight loss and stuff. So it's almost like you assume something was going on. And then to see the news today, it almost just reaffirmed. It was like, oh, yeah.
Very underrated comedic actor.
Oh, great.
Great. I mean, like, CB4 is a fucking classic, and you haven't never seen CB4, go watch it.
He also was a fairly good stand-up comedian as well.
Yes.
So, you know, RIP Charlie Murphy, has nothing to do with wrestling, but a huge fan of Chappelle's Show, watched a few of his stand-ups, and, you know, sad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, alrighty, so that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. We'll catch you guys next week right here on the Grapple Talk Podcast Network.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
GrappleTalk.com/the Facebook. That didn't make sense.
They know where to find us on Facebook.
I had a stroke.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores
gosh.
For good reason.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.